Court Press.
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble. Yeah! Yeah!
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Full Court Press, all things NBA. I'm your host, Wesley. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, however you're listening to it. With me, as always, Rabbit and the Bagman. Hello, fellas.
Yo. What's doing?
It's doing well. We are week one into the NBA. And I just got to start off by asking you, Rabbit, how was your first week of the basketball after 3 months off?
Oh, just incredible, isn't it? Like, we talk all before the season. We speculate on this team, on that team. Oh, it's going to be boring. There's only two teams in the finals, rah, rah. And then all it takes is a San Antonio beasting, or Anthony Davis dropping 50, or Westbrook doing Westbrook's things. And we're away, and it's enthralling in the first week already. Everyone's hooked. And I don't think anyone even cares about what was said preseason, because this season has started with such a bang. It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, you had DeRozan drop 40 points.
Yep.
I think Lillard had a 39-point opening game.
Lillard's already staking his MVP claim. It's great. Harden's doing stuff. Durant's killing. Like, what more do you want for the start of a season? A couple of buzzer beaters. It's great.
That's exactly right. And Bag, what are your thoughts on week one? Anything particular that stood out to you outside of Anthony Davis scoring 50 the first time since 1989.
Yeah, I agree with you guys that everyone said it was going to be a two-horse race and there was nothing compelling about the season, and everyone forgot it's cool just to see if the New Orleans can make the playoffs or if someone can get home court. But and also, it sort of started as we predicted, don't you think? Like, a few of the things that we were talking about preseason are already true. Like, the Knicks bench is terrible. Brooklyn sucks.
Yep, horrible.
The middle of the West is like, you know, you could throw a blanket over them. Boogie's getting teed up every night. The Rockets aren't playing defense. You know, like, there's heaps of things that we just expected to happen are happening. So, yeah, fuck yeah, NBA.
It's been enjoyable watching the Bulls as well. I'm surprised how well they've kind of gelled together.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, considering Wade and Rondo spent most of their career hating each other,
yeah,
they sure play well together.
That's been the one big surprise, don't you reckon? Like, basically, I don't think anyone expected them to come out of the gates blazing. Like, they touched up Indiana, which is a huge shock to me, for one. But yeah, hopefully they can sustain it.
Indiana's definitely a team that hasn't really started off huge. But one thing I thought was really interesting was, I don't know if you happened to watch the Clippers-Blazers game one. So it was the Blazers' second game, but the Clippers' opening game, excuse me. The Clippers won that. And then afterwards, there was a post-game interview with the new bad boy of the NBA, Chris Paul. Did you happen to see that at all, Bag?
Yeah, I did. I was watching it live, actually. And
we got to break it down.
Yeah, well, it kind of made me chuckle that it only took him 5 years to figure out that everyone fucking hates the Clippers. You know, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was crazy. Like, and, you know, he always comes across as a leader, family man, you know, the double ego insurance guy.
The textbook guy.
Yeah.
What did he say in the interview? I missed it.
Basically, it was like, you know, how do you feel about winning? And, you know, the way he did, and his kind of response was, we're going to win however the hell we're going to win. If you don't like it, you can fuck off. And, you know, the time is now, and I'll do whatever it takes. Fuck you, pretty much.
Yeah, they don't really care what people think about him anymore. They're not worried about being liked. They're happy being the villain and, you know, whatever it takes to get it done. But I don't mind it.
No.
I think they need a bit of an edge. And I think they've been, like, unfairly sort of left out of the conversation of teams that can legitimately win the title.
Yeah.
Also.
So his beard's turned him evil? Is that what you're saying? The beard's evil?
I reckon all the Curry comparisons last year pretty much made him tip over the edge, because
pissed him off.
Yeah.
Well, and he sort of displayed that early as well, because he's still, like, ramping up all these stupid Chris Paul things that infuriate you, you know, like sprinting down the court and running into the person who's nearest to defending him and getting foul calls. It's already happened like 5 times this season. I can't believe it. The refs haven't figured it out, but good on him, man. Like, they're 3-0. They haven't even started playing well yet. And they're still, they're winning, and they're winning ugly, and they're getting stuff from their bench, and they're looking good, even though they haven't even started firing on all cylinders yet.
Yeah, Spates looks good on them.
Spates looked real good the other night.
The bench is definitely much more exciting. Heaps less pressure on Wesley Johnson. I like that Chris Paul's just dressed up as Rick James on the sideline, not really playing. It's perfect, I reckon.
Paul Pierce.
Chris Paul or Paul Pierce.
Yeah, Paul Pierce dressed up as Rick James on the sideline. Did anyone see that?
That was pretty good. Yeah, that was pretty good.
It's beautiful.
Oh, while we're on dress-ups, did you see the Cavs Halloween costumes? They're pretty money. Shumpert killed it, the Joker. Kevin Love was Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber.
It was great.
Yeah, it was great.
And they're just hosting on the Warriors the whole time as well. Yeah. They've had a whole party basically just like putting shit on the Warriors for losing from 3-1 up.
Is that why Draymond had a blew up and said, I want to destroy the Cavs if we make the finals, like I'm not going to be friendly. I want to destroy them. Do you think that's in response to that?
Dick again, just want my hands all over his junk.
I wonder who started the war of words there. Was it in response to that, or probably Draymond just running his mouth standard?
Yeah, well, they probably ask him every day, twice every hour, and he probably, you know. But getting back to the Clippers, I just thought it was interesting that Chris Paul was so happy to embrace the villain, like you said, back when it's really easy for them to not take up that role because of the trade with Kevin Durant going over to Golden State. They're, you know, and like he's the nut kicking and all that, you know, it could have been very easily passed on to them, and Golden State kind of being those bad boys and being a little bit of the evil ones in a way, unless you're from San Francisco.
But don't you think it sort of suits their personnel though a little bit? Because if you're watching them play the Blazers the other night, Griffin just destroyed Aminu, and there's this whole, you know, legs going smaller sort of thing. And they're one of the teams that has legitimately two guys that can just like physically dominate you on both ends if they feel like it. They're an imposing team. Chris Paul's a fucking fire hydrant of a man, you know, like he's a strong guy. He's a physical guy. So yeah, why not take the edge off it, play rough, play dirty, and then they, you know, their ball movement, they're super skilled as well. So that's always going to be there.
Absolutely. And it's nice to have more than one villain. I can't remember the last time there were two kind of villain teams in the West. Anybody?
No, the Jailblazers.
Yeah, fucking, well, Sacramento back in the day.
Yeah, with
remember
Scottie
Sacramento
Pippen
back in the day against the Lakers? They were kind of villains. They got stitched up pretty hard. I don't know. That's a good question, Wes.
1974.
What happened in 1974?
I'm joking. 1974, the
San
Salt
Jose
Lake City.
Cardinals. Yeah.
I just think it's great. I think we need more villains. We need more, you know, anger and more toughness and less, you know, Thanksgiving group photos after a game. So I'm all for it.
I was off the Clippers at the start of the season. I still don't rate it, but this is a little bit different, this approach. So if it's if they're mixing it up a bit and they are going to be this sort of like coming into town and blowing away everyone and being hated, then that's a nice change, and I'll support that, I guess. But I don't know. I'm still like a little bit unsure about the Clippers, but we'll see.
Yeah, I still truly hate them deep down. I just I need to get behind my prediction of them finishing second. So I'm feeling pretty good about it.
So the rest of the podcast, we're going to be just talking about some light, fun topics, including OKC. We want to talk quickly about the Spurs touching up Golden State. And how good the Cavs look, and then we'll finish off with some topical shit. But before we get into OKC, guys, I got a douche of the week. Can you believe it? I'm bringing it back. Douche
already?
Of the week. And my douche of the week is the NBA franchise. Dwayne Wade fined $25,000 for a throat slash gesture after he shot a dagger versus the Celtics. And then the final insult, DeMarcus Cousins fined $25,000 for throwing his mouthpiece. What about Stephen Curry throwing his mouthpiece last year in the finals and hitting a fan? No fine.
Yeah, did he even get fined for that? I don't think he even got fined.
No, nothing happened. DeMarcus Cousins farts, he gets $25,000 fine. I hate all these $25,000 fines when it's not even like at a fan or directed specifically. Why can't you do throat slash? Why can't you throw your mouthpiece? It's rubber.
Was that after he fouled out six fouls in the fourth quarter?
Yes.
That was crazy. Yep. That, he has every right to be pissed off. That was shit ass. Half of those fouls were definitely not fouls. He got so stitched up in that quarter.
You're not allowed to have a personality anymore. It started when they ditched the finger wag after a block.
No,
Like, but what's the matter with that? Yeah, you can't taunt anyone. This like these are like legendary, like you know, what would you call them? Just like legendary things that like legendary players have done. They go down just in history. The Mutombo finger wag. It was like an advertising campaign.
Oh, totally.
Now $25,000 fine.
Remember that when LeBron was playing for Miami and he did that vicious throwdown on Jason Terry, that alley-oop? It was like one of the best plays of the season. And all he did afterwards, like Terry's on the ground, he just got destroyed and he just sort of took a step at him. He didn't even sit over. He just sort of walked to him, just sort of vibing him and turned around. Tech foul, bang. I think he got fined. Like, that shit's so, so lame. You know, you're right, Bag. Like, there's no personality with these guys. You want them to represent, show emotion and claim, you know, incredible moments and they're stifling them and trying to filter it. It's
should be able to like grab your dick and go like, fuck yeah, suck my balls, cunt, you know, like
huge balls.
Yeah,
like anything you want. Big balls. It's one of the most iconic celebrations ever.
Yeah, especially with all the hype and pressure on, you know, Dwayne Wade and the Bulls and he's coming back home and for him to play that well and show that much emotion to his new team. They should give him $25,000 more.
Yeah, right.
Not take it away. They should be like, thank you for caring. You know, thanks for being awesome. Thanks for being passionate. Fucking awesome. Instead, $25,000.
And they, the Bulls, just going back to before, how well they're playing, I think they set a franchise record in the last few days for three-pointers made. Like, that shit's insane. That's so against what everyone thought would happen. And then he's claiming it, and he's, like, happy about it, and he gets fined for that kind of stuff. It's pretty weak.
He got to unleash McBuckets. Unleash him.
and Rondo's still an asshole.
Yeah, that's fine.
As we were talking about early in the podcast, the week one standouts. Rabbit, do you want to start this off? Any thoughts?
It's just insane. I just want to give you a quick rundown, and you can take it from here. But look at these stats. Westbrook, 38, 12, and 11. Anthony Davis, 37, 13. DeRozan, 35 and 5. Lillard, 34 and 6. Harden, 32 and 7. Durant, 28 and 9. Like, Kawhi's there at 28. Irving at 26. Like, take your pick. It's I've never seen such an incredible start to the season stats-wise. Like, these numbers are just insane. I love how Lillard's come out. I really think he's probably got a bit of a chip on his shoulder this season and he's willing to prove that he is an MVP candidate. I love the way Kawhi's playing and he finished second in MVP voting last year. So he's a pretty good dark horse to take it.
And my personal favorite player. I'm just saying it. I love everything about his game. It's just amazing. What he's embodied from like the Spurs mentality and just not showing off and just going to work and letting his, you know, skill set and performance speak for him. It's fucking epic.
I like how the Spurs have like adapted to. There's not really that much, you know, sexy passing in their personnel anymore. Now that like DL's gone, and it's a little bit more. They've got more isolation style players, and Kawhi's really taken to that and just sort of like give me the ball, get the fuck out of the way, and taking people one on one, just rising up and shooting those mid range jumpers that he loves. And
Didn't see a lot of that last season, so he's definitely improved his game as well. It's insane.
Swarming motherfuckers on the defensive end. Yeah. It's like Krugering cunts. It's amazing.
Even David Lee looks great.
Let's not get too ahead of ourselves. He was solid. Should we go straight into, while we're on the Spurs, should we talk about them beasting the Warriors?
Or can I just say that on all these like opening night things is that I hate how random the NBA statistics are now. Did you get that on opening night where everyone's like, it's the first time anyone's ever made like 45 points plus 11.5 rebounds plus 1.8, like going, all right, it's one game. Just say like it's the highest opening game ever. I don't care about like the minimal averages or like everyone's like over the first three games, Westbrook's the first person like going, it's three fucking games. Like, I don't really care. I want to hear about like individual like game records. You don't need to know if someone's averaged like, or he's the first player to average more than like 7.6 assists. I don't give a fuck, honestly.
Yeah, well,
give me raw stats.
I think it's a good time to just briefly touch on, you know, early MVP candidates and who you think's going to get it.
Now, we didn't really talk about it in our preseason thing. If you had to bet on someone now, who's your hot tip?
Well, can I say, don't you think you know, the Golden State, because they got so much offensive power now that they're kind of cock-blocking each other from the possibility of that award?
I think a little bit, but look at Durant's numbers. Like, Durant can still get his no matter what, 28-9. Like, it depends, obviously. I think a lot of this, I mean, again, small sample size so far, but if, like, these numbers stay the same on a couple of these players, it's down to where they finish, you know, if they're a top four team. If, like I can't see them giving it to, what do you think? Is it playoffs? If you make the playoffs, you can be MVP. If you don't make the playoffs, they won't allow it. You know,
that
they won't give it to
someone. That seems to be the vibe. Yeah. It seems to be the general vibe.
But it's been, I think it's been like many years that someone that hasn't had a top two finish in their conference, their team had a top two finish in their conference has won MVP. So that would sort of suggest that you would at least need home court. That's why, you know, guys like Westbrook and Harden and Anthony Davis and even Lillard, I suppose, are in danger of not reaching those sort of levels. So that's why it might just come down to LeBron, the Golden State guys, and Kawhi.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's got to go to Kawhi. He's been second place MVP 2 years in a row. And the only thing missing from it is a little bit more offense, and it looks like he's been working on that nonstop.
Yeah.
I got to go Kawhi all day. So get your jersey early so you don't look like a douchebag after he wins MVP, and wear it all season long until he gets the award.
Did you hear as well that the NBA are going to do like an awards-style show at the end of the season after the finals to crown all these like individual achievements?
Oh, that's new.
Nobody loves a trophy more than NBA players. And it's not enough with the ESPY Awards. We have to have our own individual award show so we can celebrate the water boy.
Don't you think that'd be kind of, it'd be cool, like it'd be sort of like an Oscars, like going, and in the running for top five, defensive player of the year, Anthony Davis, and they're like, they pant to his like stupid face and all of that. People wearing suits, doing shit speeches. I can get down with that.
I'll be down with that. That's great. How many categories, though, do you reckon? They'll ham up heaps of it. There'll be heaps, yeah.
All your, you know, like, if you want to compare it to the Oscars, you know, best sound, best editing, best cowboy.
Best
clothing.
Yeah, best in-game experience, best cheerleaders.
Yeah, you got to give an award to, you know, best off-site referee.
Best mascot. Come on.
Best mascot, totally.
Best t-shirt, cannon.
Best hype man in game, best announcer. There's going to be so many horrible awards, I reckon. But
montage all those ones. That'd be sweet. And then everyone who died, a little musical montage. I'm down. I'm 100% down.
I'm down.
We hosted by
I don't know
Nick
about Cannon, the dying thing. Kevin I hope Park. No one's dying.
Hey, while we're talking about MVPs and Kawhi and all that, like you said, Rabbit, let's go into the Spurs touching up Golden State for game one. It was the most enjoyable game one experience I've had in a while, just because it was just really intense and really surprising to watch Golden State kind of fall apart there. And I wasn't that surprised in sense, because it's just typical Spurs style basketball. But the highlight has to be the off the bench Simmons.
Oh, he was incredible. He was great.
What the hell was that?
He's been around.
Yeah, Pop's a big fan. He maybe 2 years on the Spurs, but it's just standard Popovich grooming these guys and making them buy into the Spurs system. And I mean, he didn't play that great the second game, but he's going to have a couple of those breakout performances. And the Warriors bench looked really vulnerable. They didn't have any answers. And when, you know, Clay's been sucking, he hasn't shot well all season yet. Curry was out of sorts. Durant still got his. Durant looked good. Durant's looked good every game so far. He's meshing with the offense fine. I don't think there'll be any problems with him.
Especially when they were getting the switches they want, and all of a sudden Patty Mills is guarding him, or you know, or Tony Parker. You're like, there's nothing that's going to stop him from shooting.
Yeah, and that KD Curry pick and roll, that's unstoppable. I don't know why they didn't use it more. I was watching the Blazers game last night, and they went to it a little more. And I don't see how they stop that, but they don't run it that often. The, you know, trotting out Varejao and, you know, some of those guys, it's a bit concerning, like when those guys don't play well. That said, I think, like we keep saying, it's only a couple of games. Like Clark was great last night. He was pretty average against the Spurs. They're playing OKC tomorrow, so that's going to be a pretty good indication. I can't wait for that. That's probably the biggest game of the season so far. But, yeah. back to the Spurs Warriors game, I think it was the best thing that could have happened for the league, for the Warriors, for everyone. All of a sudden, it's like enthralling, like bang, the Spurs, that's right. Oh, cool. The Warriors have lost the game already. They're 0-1. Oh, stories, headlines, great.
Yeah, and they're 2-1 now, and I'm sure they're going to still kick ass, but you definitely have to say there's something about the bench missing Spates and Barbosa and Bogut and Barnes, who's actually playing pretty good for Dallas.
Yeah, he is.
He had a couple. You're going to miss that eventually, and I don't know how much Kevin Durant defense or one injury away type stuff will mean. The one standout before you get in their bag is Klay Thompson, my first fantasy pick, is just sucking.
Yeah, he's been awful.
He hates it. He hates it.
Yeah, he had a shocker last night. His jump shot looks different. His legs are going everywhere, and it's something's not right. But it's just mental. It's only a matter of time before he figures it out. But yeah. I think it's funny how everyone retreated from their Golden State predictions so quickly after that one game. You know, like I don't think it's that shocking, because look at what had to happen for that beasting to take place. For starters, Pachulia didn't do shit in the middle, didn't protect the rim. That's going to happen from time to time. But you got zero from the bench. The Rabbit already touched on it. That wasn't the case against the Blazers last night. And none of the big four guys really went off at any point. That's what you're banking on. That was the difference between, you know, your bench can suck and your interior defense can suck to a certain extent if one of those guys goes off once a night, and you expect that to happen. And all of those things didn't happen. But then last night, you know, the bench chips in a little bit. Clark gets hot, doesn't miss a shot. Curry goes off in the third quarter, and it's a blowout. So I don't think it's that outrageous to back away from the lofty expectations. We set them, you know, like you keep touching back to Miami, the super team. They started 9-8, and then they peeled off 12 games in a row. So I think you give these guys like a 15-game window to get it together. They might still be like 12-3 at that time before they even start putting it together.
So you think it's the same type of recipe as the Miami Heat? It's going to take them a little while to gel, and then suddenly they're just going to start blowing teams away.
Like the dialogue now is that the Pachulia thing's going to be a disaster, and they're just going to get layups and dunk. They're going to give up layups and dunks all day. And, you know, against Cleveland, that's probably going to be a real thing. But I think during the course of the season, Draymond and KD showed last night that they can do a really good job of protecting the bucket. And we keep forgetting that Bogut missed so many games with this team. And when he was playing, he played so little at times that, you know, their best lineups are going to be without their traditional big man. And that's what they need to get together. And once Clay finds his shot and Iggy sort of ramps it up a little bit, I think they'll be in mid-season form in mid-season, and everyone will be forgetting this pretty quick. But I'm not backing away from them thinking they're going to dominate the West and they're going to be the best team by far. I think it's crazy that everyone's still doing that.
I think it was just so shocking that they got beasted by 30 on their home court opening night. You know, it wasn't just like we got beat by a better team, the Spurs, you know, working some things out. No, it's almost like they mailed it in by halftime, you know, and I think that's what was so shocking, the way they lost. So it just set off everyone's like alarm bells, like, oh, the Warriors are like weak, they're soft, you know, they can't defend. And then you look at how well they played last night against the Blazers, and all it takes is like, you know, Steph goes off 4 threes in the third, then like they're worried about him, then Clark was hot, they can't double on him. So Durant starts hitting, you know, and then once they get rolling, they're going to hit you from so many areas that it's going to be tough for anyone to stop them on certain nights. And I think those nights are going to be the ones where we're going to enjoy the most. But they are vulnerable. They're certainly vulnerable, and I think their bench might need some work. Are they in a position at the moment to add, or they can – they have a little bit of room, I think. They can make some moves before the trade deadline, but – you know, we'll have to see maybe 20 games in, 30 games in, if the Zaza thing, like if they can get what they want out of him and can get the stops they want out of him. Because like when they play Cleveland, it's going to be pretty interesting to see how they defend Kyrie and LeBron at the same time.
Yeah. I think the main thing for them is like, I want to see some enjoyment. And that for that whole streak of 24-0 to start the season last year and all through the season, basically, they're all having a good time. Curry was dancing, and they're, you know, there was like heaps of swag, and they're all very serious. I think like they're feeling the weight of the expectation to start the season. I think once they start letting it fly and just be themselves, like get back into character doing what they do, then you know, the shots will start falling. Clay will stop thinking he sucks so bad.
Seems like they seems like they tried to do that, and then Draymond Green got a technical foul straight away. So I think you got to kind of also
When was that?
When he was just celebrating too much. Or maybe it was against the Spurs, but they gave him a tech because he was just kind of really mouthing off and getting kind of really into it, like that. What you guys are talking about. I think also you got to kind of try and find that happy medium and not let your emotions get too out of control, because he does have a problem with that. And that's kind of the one thing they keep kind of referring back to is Draymond Green can, you know, win you the championship or lose it, you know.
But he's like Westbrook in that regard. He's always going to be on a knife's edge. And as long as you're on the right side of that, then you need him to be pushing the limits at all times for him to be at his best. So, he's just staying in the right.
Definitely live with it.
Speaking of Westbrook, Golden State are playing OKC next. Is that right?
Yep.
So let's just talk about OKC for a couple of minutes here. We got Oladipo quietly back-to-back 20-point games. He just agreed to a four-year, $84 million contract. And Steven Adams just signed a $102 million extension.
That's wild.
You think he's worth that kind of money? The comparison is Rudy Gobert just signed $100 million 4 years.
Well, he's not as good as Gobert, is he? That's where...
I don't think so.
It's easy to make the comparison. Like, straight up, would you rather have Gobert or Adam?
Gobert.
Yeah.
Okay, would you rather have Adams, Gobert, or DeAndre?
Oh,
I think DeAndre is the best player.
Until you foul him.
Yeah. At the same time, like, Oklahoma aren't going to get that big free agent, and Steven Adams is probably a top 10 center. He's young.
So they're just trying to lock him down.
Oh, easy.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the price. They don't want to go to restricted free agency because someone will probably give him that much money. So
100% someone will. Yep.
Yes. But that's their top three now. So what do you think of that as a top three in terms of the West and how they're going to go?
I think we got to watch them a little bit more, but wouldn't you say Oladipo is the X factor in the whole thing? Whether he can play well when Westbrook subbed off, whether he can play well off the ball screens.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of Dwayne Wade position when, you know, LeBron came over, that kind of comparison, being able to make plays and be dynamic without holding the ball all the time, and then taking up that role once, you know, Westbrook's resting. There's a lot of pressure on him, I think.
He's shooting 34% to start the year. So that's auspicious. Yeah. He might be scoring, but this is where OKC is going to get into trouble, where it's going to be volume offense and it's not good shots. And it's not going to be able to sustain it against good teams.
Are OKC just trying to lock him in? Because they didn't really waste any time signing him. So they must be happy with him. And they're just trying to secure their team so they don't, you know, so they can keep these core guys together. Westbrook's locked in, and they're going to just try and build on what they have and try and get a stronger second unit and go forth with what they have.
Well, some of this, because they didn't sign Oladipo to the max, you know, there's a bit of Rudy Gay chatter. They might do a deal to get him over to OKC, which is pretty interesting. I don't know if Rudy Gay is the player he was, but again, like, it's kind of like all ball dominant guys. And, you know, when Westbrook or Oladipo or whoever are penetrating and kickouts, like you've got Westbrook, Oladipo, and no one guards Robinson. Who's hitting shots? Like, I know the shooting we've talked about before, but they don't seem very well balanced. And you can't, like Bag said it before, sustainability is the word. And I can't see Westbrook sustaining this the whole season. Like, we know he's a freak. He may, but he's going to cost him a lot of games, probably just as many as he wins for them with some of his shot selections. Like, he took 44 shots the other night to get 50 points, I think, 51 points. And while that's incredible, if you're looking at it from like a team perspective, that's not great. It's not great in any way you look at it for the other players. So I don't know what changes they can make if Rudy Gay is a piece that will help. I guess we'll just have to wait and see how Westbrook runs a team, you know, 20 games in, we'll see where they stand and if Oladipo and him are a, like, legit backcourt or not.
It's hard to say with because they played Lakers, Philly, and the Suns, who they just managed to squeak by with Westbrook taking 44 shots and 20 free throws.
I'm surprised it didn't end on a buzzer beater in the Suns' face. They love that.
Regulation sort of did. He got a wide open layup because Tyson Chandler wasn't in the game to protect the rim. And the Suns, I hate to tell you, VG, they're fucking awful. They're way worse than I thought they were going to be.
They are horrible.
And I want to hate on the way that Westbrook's taking all these shots, but if you look at the numbers, that he's shooting 45%, which is the same as last year, and aesthetically it's gross, and I honestly think once they start playing some good teams, that there's no way that they're going to be winning as many games as they currently are. But you can't really argue with it, because looking around it, that you know, he did whatever it took to get it done, and they're 3-0, and you can't really knock the tactics if they end up winning the game. But I think long
term, not at all.
And also, would you want to go and play with that guy? I think people love like the competitiveness of Westbrook, and he doesn't quit and he plays hard every night. But...
Well, it's the same thing as Kobe, right? Would you want to play with Kobe Bryant on your team? Not really.
Yeah, like, I mean, the ball has energy, isn't that the saying? You know, and you touch it and you move it on, and but that's not the way it's happening there.
He's got to be maturing as a person, as a human being as well. Even that fat fuck in the 76ers flipping off Westbrook and how he handled that, that was much more mature than normal, I think.
Yeah,
it's true.
And maturity, you can see it in Harden a little bit as well, so... You know, he's becoming closer to 30 than 20.
The next five games, they're playing Clippers, Golden State, Minnesota, Miami, and Toronto. But I think the last three are going to be the ones that tell you the most about them. You know, like we'll be able to see if they're sort of like a Minnesota or Miami level. You know, Toronto's always like a good test. Denver gave them a good run the other day. So it'll be interesting to see if they're like a mid-tier team or maybe just a little bit above it. But I still maintain I think they'll still miss the playoffs, but they're going to be right in the hunt.
Just randomly, did anyone see Timberwolves versus the Grizzlies last night?
Oh, it was a pasting.
Jesus Christ! They were
out 40 at one point, 45 at one point. That was wild. No Gasol,
Levine
finally
got like 31 plus or something.
No Gasol,
believe it.
He was out. Yeah, they looked so
He's
average.
A great coach.
Yeah, they just sacrificed the front game of a back to back.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep this fun, lighthearted podcast going with some Cavaliers talk. And, you know, we don't usually talk about the talked-about teams straight up, like OKC and Golden State. So we're just kind of getting it out of the way, and then we'll get into the teams you love, such as Milwaukee and Orlando later on in the season. But, yeah, the Cavs look really really good. I mean, they do look like the defending champions. They haven't really missed a beat. Shannon Fry stepped in really well. We'll see if he can play more towards the playoffs as he failed that last season. We got Tristan Thompson kind of finding his way, but he is dating a Kardashian, so it should probably distract him slightly. LeBron doesn't want to have anything to do with her, and he doesn't want her anywhere near the team. But
she's kryptonite, bro.
But yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But did anyone happen to see the championship ring out of curiosity? I think that's a funny way to kind of start it. Tell me about it, Rabbit. Tell me about it.
God, well, just the it's like it's a iconic meme now, isn't it? The Warriors blew a 3-1 lead, and the Cavs are just reminding them again with the, what is it, the little diamonds on the bottom of the ring that have like four wins versus three, just reminding everyone.
Three,
it's pretty cool.
Three white diamonds versus four burgundy.
Those rings are disgusting, though. Yeah,
they're massive.
It's like, it's like wearing a fucking wristwatch on your finger.
You would never wear it, ever.
No. Michael Jordan's dad learned that the hardest of hard ways.
That's edgy.
It's not hilarious.
Anyways, let's talk about some of the bench players like Fry or Dunleavy. Dunleavy looks awesome. Little spot-up shooting, filling that role. He's only playing, I think, like 18 minutes a game or something like that. But
that's perfect though, right?
Yeah.
Like I think Dunleavy on paper has always been something that you desire. He's 6'9". He's quite mobile, and he can shoot, and he knows how to play. He knows how to play the right way, so LeBron would just be loving all of that. And he's so injury-prone, the fact that they only need him for 20 minutes a game, and he's going to be LeBron insurance when LeBron needs to rest as well. So on paper, it's working out as you'd expect it would.
Mm. And who's the backup point guard to Kyrie?
Oh, well, they don't really have one.
The rookie Kay Felder. The guy, he's the highest paid second round draft pick of all time. He's this tiny guy that had a great summer.
Little 5'9".
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. The little Nate Robinson 2.0.
Yeah, but he had concussions. Well,
are they going to use Shumpert as a backup point guard?
Well, LeBron. They're just going to stagger and have LeBron holding the ball, and they only need, you know, their actual backup point guard, so maybe like 10 minutes a game.
Are they better than last year, do you reckon?
Don't you think just by way of continuity, it looks so familiar for them already?
I feel like they're better.
And what about K-Love?
Well, K-Love's getting into that Chris Bosch groove, hey, where, you know, like the first season of trying to figure yourself out, and then he had injury problems last year. And now it looks like he knows exactly where he's supposed to be at all times. He's healthy, he's looking good, and he's confident. That I think that game seven stop on Steph Curry has given him that boost of confidence that he needs to just go and be K-Love. And it's awesome.
Yeah. It is awesome.
Also, like, Didn't we hear all season last year, they need to play him more in the middle and get back to what he did? And it looks like they finally started to do that, because he's doing heaps of post, heaps of inside moves, and scoring. And that's what he should be doing, not just spotting up and shooting threes every 5 seconds.
Yeah, he is a scorer, and so you need to feed him the ball. And so they figured that out with Kyrie as well. He's a scorer, so like you just put him in positions to put the ball in the bucket, and they're going to succeed.
Kyrie looks great.
By putting Love out by the three all the time, you like half your offensive rebound chance. And if you got him and Thompson both going for offensive rebounds, I mean, there isn't much better in the NBA that can stop that. So I love him down low in the post, purely for the offensive rebounds.
I think the only thing really like holding them back will be if Kyrie has an injury of some sort, because then that's the only place, like you were saying before, that they're really not equipped to back that up. Like, of course, LeBron's irreplaceable, of course, but that's the one spot where if he goes down in the playoffs, then it's going to be very interesting to see how they recover from what he brings.
Kyrie's still only 23, is that right?
I'm not sure.
It can't be right.
He looks incredible this season.
Yeah, and LeBron's got the body of a 19-year-old, so I think they're doing all right. So, did you hear that?
What's that?
They tested him out and all that shit. The doctor. Find
some sort of scientific study on him. And he's got. Well, have you seen him? You've seen his Instagram videos and stuff, how much he just beasts. All he does is work out. And he's got like three dietitians and like a full-on staff of not medical guys, but just, all invested in LeBron and LeBron's body. Pretty crazy. Kyrie's 24, born in Melbourne, 24. Wow.
24. You're born in Melbourne. I like how you brought that up. That's great.
Yep.
And last little thing, I guess, is Shumpert. You think he's going to go or stay this season?
Oh, I don't see why. Do they want to get rid of him? Is there chatter about that?
I think they're listening.
He's filling a role. He's all right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on. So any other topical stuff that anyone wants to get off their chest in this opening week one podcast? I got
my favorite player of all time, Meta World Peace. Did you hear about this? He was touched inappropriately by a ghost in a hotel in OKC, apparently.
I didn't hear that.
That's what he told the press. There's apparently a haunted hotel somewhere in OKC where a lot of players have had run-ins with ghosts, but none have been ever no one's ever been touched inappropriately. And
sat on his hand until it went numb and then masturbated.
Could it be the ghost of Ron Artest coming back to haunt him? It's so wild. He just always keeps coming back with more. It's incredible.
Well, I love tennis. And the word is Nick Kyrgios, the angriest tennis player, bad boy in tennis, is going to be playing in this year's All-Star game. So I guess we got like a Bill Laimbeer type of vibe. So look out for that. Kevin Hart for the MVP. I think it's great.
I hope he loses it. I hope he loses it on the court, takes out Drake or something like that. That would be insane.
I think he played state basketball. So I think he can play.
Really? Even better. Yes.
So look out for that. And then Vince Carter was asked, can you do dunk comp this year? And he said, I could. I wouldn't win, but it would be interesting. Would you guys want to see that, or would it just be kind of sad?
No.
You don't want to see it at all?
No.
I can't see what he could do. You know what I would rather see? I'd rather see the grandpa's three-point shootout unleash like Steve Kerr and Reggie and the recently retired Ray Ray, John Paxson, maybe Larry Bird. Get him out there, grandpa's three-point. That'd be pretty sweet.
That would be amazing. That's a great idea.
Father,
I don't think Steve Kerr could do it because his back's so fucked, but that would be amazing. Yeah, Dell?
That'd be great. Oh,
please. Please.
And did you want to talk about Anthony Davis looking for a personal assistant on Craigslist?
On Craigslist.
It's wild.
Opportunity of a lifetime. Look after a giant. I couldn't. What a weird place to advertise that.
Why does he need to do that? Isn't there people around to do that for him, to find him assistance or help him? Why
would you trust anyone on the Pelicans? Their GM sucks. None of their players ever show up to work.
I wouldn't hire anyone. I wouldn't put it out to the public. You could get like the weirdest people around. I wouldn't do that.
I'll be Anthony Davis's assistant. It's easy. All you have to do is book him in a trip to the fucking dentist. That's first point of call. That's it. Anyone can do it. He doesn't need to advertise.
No, I think he's setting himself up for a shakedown or something. I wouldn't do it.
You hungry, Davis? You hungry? What do you want? You thirsty, Davis? Get Davis's clothes. And you know, it's just so weird. All right, so just a final thought before we go here. Boy, the Knicks suck. But Isaiah Thomas was asked about the triangle, and his reply was, quote, if you don't have Kobe or Shaq or Michael Jordan, the triangle doesn't work. I just wanted to see if you guys agree with that.
I think it's a fair call. It certainly helps. I don't think Porzingis is exactly thriving in the triangle right now. Is he thriving? Is he running it? Doesn't look like he's running it.
What about Melo?
One-man triangle.
I think he's got to let it go, Phil Jackson. It's a pace and space league. It's not a – I don't rate it at all.
I'm with you, man.
I think they got to let it go.
The starters, like, they do suck. I think Derek Rose has been getting too much heat, for one. Everyone's saying they should play Brandon Jennings. But Brandon Jennings is worse than Derek Rose, a lot worse, I think. His shot selection is disgusting. But, yeah, I agree with Rabbit. Like, all the Kurt Rambis teams that he coached failed to pull off the triangle. They were shocking Minnesota teams. All the Knicks teams that have tried it have sucked at it. Melo is it's not a style for him. He's an ISO player. And, yeah, they should be doing everything possible to get KP mismatches. Totally. You know, all you need to do is play spread pick and roll with KP, and he can shoot over anyone that's not originally meant to be guarding him. And Derrick Rose can blow by slower defenders as well. So I don't understand why that's not your bread and butter. And then you're ISOing Melo outside of that when that breaks down, and that's your secondary offense. And that's exactly what I would be doing. I don't know. And then just have shooters spotting up around them.
We'll be back next week with another topical podcast. You are listening to Full Court Press. Check out the Instagram, Facebook. We got Snapchat. We got Hydro. We got – no, we don't have any of those things. But thanks for listening.